Hello, everybody. It's me, Roscoe, and welcome to the latest instalment of the Kings of Anglia FPL podcast. I hope you all had a good weekend of Premier League fixtures. Obviously, Town still looking for their first win. Won't get into the penalty incident. We won't get into that because that's all over on the flagship show. And obviously, it's been a big talking point, hasn't it, the last few days. But it's all about FPL here, and I'm joined, as ever, by good old Alex Jones to discuss how we got on in game week 10. And also look ahead to game week 11 as well. AJ, come in, my friend. How are you?
Dreadful. Abolish the game. Delete the app. Appalling. This is the thing. You only sing when you're winning, don't you? And this weekend, I was not winning nor singing. Good lords. This has been quite comfortably my worst week, I think, unfortunately.
Which I'm sure some people were actually like, yeah, singing from the rooftops and going, yes, finally AJ's been defeated. But, you know, it's only 1 week. You know, next week could be, it's a new week. So we shall see. The average obviously was 39. The highest was 111. You were saying off air, this could be the first week where you've not got the average score.
Not even could be. It's the first week I have not got the average score. The average score at 39 and I picked up 35. Should I run you through my team? Should we kick off?
Yeah,
then?
let's see right. Who's going to get booted.
This has been terrible. Oh, wow, you blacked out there for a minute. Okay, hopefully you're back. Dean Henderson in goal. That was bad. That was a really good game, though, between Wolves and Crystal Palace. That did absolutely zilch for me in terms of getting in terms of getting the points. He only got two. The back line, this was bad. Pedro Porro came in. He got a booking and conceded a solitary goal to Aston Villa in what was a very convincing win for Spurs, so only picked up a point in that. Konate played at home to Brighton. He got subbed off with an injury at halftime, came off, I think, like, almost in tears with his arm kind of like held in the sling. He's fine, which is good at least. It's like probably the one positive I can take from this week, but he only got a point. Rico Lewis, I think that Pep was saying going into this weekend, like, the one player that you can't drop from Manchester City's team at the moment is Rico Lewis. That's what he said going into the trip to Bournemouth, and then for the trip to Bournemouth, he dropped Rico Lewis and brought him on for 17 minutes at the end, which gave me a grand total of 1 point from him. Midfield, Brian Mbeumo was the late one yesterday. He did absolutely nothing. I watched that game. I can't really think of him doing pretty much anything at all. And obviously, Brentford got completely done over in stoppage time. Saka got two, did nothing against Newcastle. Morgan Rogers was kind of the big point scorer from this weekend, which was good. He got a goal and two bonus points. He has now gone yellow for a knock, which isn't great. Cole Palmer got three against Man United. Again, I watched a bit of that in the pub. Wasn't great, I don't think. Watkins got two. Chris Wood, again, saving me from disaster, picking up 7 points. I'm so happy. If it was not for Chris Wood, I don't know where I'd be in this game, to be perfectly honest. And then Haaland, again, doing nothing. I think he hit the post in this game, but, not great. And then the frustration for me on the bench, obviously Matthews and Greaves didn't play. Caballo got a point off the bench. We got royally booed against Fulham. And the big frustration was I had Taylor Harwood-Bellis. He doesn't kind of start that often for Southampton, but did start in their 1-0 win against Everton, picking up 6 points for a clean sheet. So 6 points on the bench that would have taken me above average, not to be, and overall a bit of a horror show.
And yeah, we'll update the leaderboard table very shortly and obviously talk about potential changes for game week 11. Let's take a look at me. I'm just above the average, 48 points. So not great really, but obviously better than you, AJ, for once. For 1 week, I'm better than AJ on FPL. Let's run through the team then. David Raya got me 3 points because of all the saves he had to make, but obviously he lost against Newcastle. Defence, Mitchell, he's let me down at Palace. He's only got me 1 point. I'm a player that I'm looking to maybe get rid of. But then last week he got 6 points, but then his other weeks he's only really getting 1 point here, 4 points there. But I think that's defenders for you. Robertson got an assist for Fulham. I think it was the
Robinson,
goal,
let's stress, it? Guys. Yeah, this is not Robertson from Liverpool. This is
Robertson.
Anthony. Robinson. Robertson plays for. I don't understand how some of the stuff you get confused by in terms of your pronunciations. It's really I sympathise with it a bit. Like, even Ali El Hamadi's a bit of a mouthful when you're struggling with that.
Got there now.
Robinson and Robertson. is one of the weirdest things.
Robertson. Yeah. There we go.
It still sounds like you're saying Robertson. Maybe it's just your accent. I don't know.
Yeah, but, Antonio. Yeah.
We'll just call it Anthony.
Anthony, who plays for Fulham, got me six points. Of course, got the assist for Harry Wilson's late. Well, he scored both of the goals, but he scored the winner.
The second one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he got me 6 points, which was very nicely indeed. Leif Davis, very good Davis. He got me 10 points, thanks to his beautiful goal.
I could have been so much more as well. If he'd kept that clean
sheet. How many more do you reckon he would have got? So he got 10 overall for me.
Would have got 3 bonus points. I don't know. How many bonus points did he get? Did he get all 3? Or...
let me have a look. I need to just look. Let's see. He got... How do you look? So you got...
Well, if you tap on
2 points. Yeah, 2 points for 90 minutes. 1 point, 6 points for the goal. 2 points for the bonus.
So you got two bonus points. So realistically, I don't know who got 3 in this, but you'd have to say that if he'd scored the winner and kept a clean sheet, that's 3 bonus points. I think you probably get like 4 for a clean sheet. So you're probably looking at a 15, 16-point haul if it wasn't for that late sucker punch that, if you really want to go hear all about, we spoke about that. Well, we know Tuesday, so yesterday. God, wow. It feels like we're much further on in the week than we actually are. But yeah, you can go listen to that.
Indeed. My defence actually did okay, despite, you know, Raya being part of a defeat, obviously Mitchell being part of that Wolves game. But yeah, the guy from Fulham and Davis got some good points. Midfield, mixed bag, really. Jarrod Bowen, only 2 points. Obviously, West Ham, dear me. Mo Salah, 9 points for me. Maybe I should have captained him, but I didn't. It was Cole Palmer who I captained, who only got 6 points for me. And Dwight McNeil only got 2 points. He's a player that I'm going to be talking about very shortly in terms of switches. Then up front, not really much to be said, really. Watkins, 2 points. Welbeck got 5 points. He got an assist for Brighton in that defeat against Liverpool. And Leon Delap, obviously, only 2 points for me. Then my bench, Heung-min Son, got 4 points, but he's on my bench. Once again, I was debating when I saw he was starting for Spurs. I thought, oh, great, he's going to go and score now or something. But obviously, I don't think he did much in the game, if I'm rightly. I think he didn't do much. I don't think so. Did he? Did he do anything for Spurs?
Well, you can have a look and see if you click on it. But
he got an assist, actually. He got an assist. He did get an assist.
He got an assist for Brennan Johnson's Brennan Johnson's goal, which was the equaliser in that game.
Yeah, so, but maybe instead of having maybe McNeil or Bowen, but going into this game, we didn't know if Son was going to start, and obviously he did, and he got 4 points. And then Michael Keane and Pedro Porro got 1 point each. So, not a great week for you, AJ. Not a great week for me, really, but better than most weeks for me, to be fair. But that now, as the manager of your team, AJ, is it Fake Burgess? You're a Fake Burgess, is your name?
That is, that's the one. That's an iconic video in Ipswich Town folklore.
Very much so, from the promotion last year. Let's talk straight away, AJ, about potential changes. We're recording this on Tuesday. This is going to go out on Wednesday. Obviously, we've only had the Brentford game just, you know, Monday night. But have you already been looking, tinkering, especially after your poor average? Well, not getting the average.
Cool, getting slated on him, rightfully so, after all the stick I've given everyone else over the weeks. It's finally time for me to take some stick, fair enough. I've had a few bits in mind here. I'm getting to the point now where I'm wondering if Erling Haaland is worth the 15 plus million in this team. Looking at his returns since the Newcastle game, the 1-1 draw, which is kind of around the turning point for that. Well, I'd say the turning point was really the Arsenal game, but since then, he's blanked in every single game apart from Southampton, where he scored early on, and then City did nothing. They've got a trip to Brighton, which is tough, a home game against Tottenham. They very rarely seem to beat Tottenham, so there's concerns there. And then away at Liverpool, home to Forest. Those are four very, very, very difficult fixtures for Manchester City. And it's tricky because I want to stick with Haaland, knowing what he's capable of and knowing that as soon as I take him out of my team, he will score 3 in each of those goals. And my totals that I had from the start of the season, where not everyone had him and I was picking up big hauls for his hat-trick against Ipswich, his hat-trick against West Ham and 2 against Brentford. I'm concerned about that. But I went away from Salah and he started scoring now, and I'm thinking about going back, to be honest. And the change I had in mind was to go Haaland to Solanke, which I quite liked. I don't really want to say it, but Solanke up against an Ipswich defence. Yeah, considering you got a couple over the weekend against Villa, feels like a good way to play it. And then go Carvalho to Salah. Carvalho is someone that I've had on my bench for a little while. And just, pardon me, just kind of felt he's going to be starting games soon. It's cost a lot of money. And he's not. I don't know what's going on there. He's just not starting games of football as talented as he is. So that was the plan. And I had a look at it and it costs 0.1 million more than I can afford. So that's kind of where I'm looking to maybe play around with things. I'm not really sure how to approach it. Liam Delap is also another one that I am interested in just because he's the man that brings something from nothing, isn't he? So is it about time to look at that? And another one who I think has, you were right to go with him from the start. And I think that especially in the last few weeks, he's built up quite nicely. Funnily enough, is that man, Anthony Robinson, who I've kind of been thinking about. I'm quite happy with my defence, but this Rico Lewis thing's really messed with my head. So all in all, a little bit rambly because I don't really know where I'm going with this. I want to try and go Haaland to Salah and strengthen somewhere else, but it looks like the Solanke transfer that I want to capitalise on some decent-ish fixtures coming up for Tottenham, aside from going to Man City. You know, they've got Ipswich, let's be honest, it is a good chance for a player like Solanke. Fulham, Bournemouth, Southampton on the horizon as well. So that's the way I'd like to play it, but I'm finding it hard to squeeze it all in. So maybe someone like Liam Delap, but we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, yeah, because, yeah, still out of doors to make transfers. As I said last week, I'm not going to be doing any live transfers on this podcast anymore.
Boo!
I know. Oh, you never know. You never know. If I Boo feel like, oh, I'm man. Really itching. Yeah, if I'm really itching. Or it depends when we record it. If we're recording on a Thursday or even a Friday, even that late, then maybe live changes. But as we're recording this on the Tuesday, I don't want to go too soon. But I am potentially looking to get rid of Dwight McNeil this early, which is madness, because obviously I was so keen to get him in. But the last few weeks, he's not really done me anything. Since I brought him in after the Ipswich game, 2 points against Fulham, 2 points against Southampton. And those are games I thought he was going to record him because, you know, they're almost a winnable games for Everton, but obviously Fulham would have been a good test, but they could have got something out of it. Southampton, obviously, was the game we thought, yeah, this one I thought, oh, I'm going to get those points from Dwight McNeil. Obviously, they're going to lose. They've got West Ham up next, then Brentford, and then Man United. So not a bad run of fixtures. And I think I said that when I did brought him in originally, but I don't know. I don't know if he's worth it or not. I don't know if I bring someone else in. And one person I'm thinking about replacing him is the Bournemouth man, Semenyo, who I think Stu's got on his team. And obviously, Bournemouth are doing very well.
He's been really big on Semenyo for a while now. And the performance against City, there is a temptation there. I'm quite set with most of my midfield, but his performances recently are pretty eye-catching.
Yeah, I'm going to quickly look at what he's looking like, because I think I can make a sort of straight swap. I think I'll actually have 0.1 million left in my bank, which, you know, I can't do anything with pretty much. Maybe I could. I think I was looking at potentially getting rid of Mitchell from Crystal Palace and maybe bringing in another defender who's that sort of price range. Like, there was a few that was up there. But let me quickly look at Semenyo, as he's got Brentford up next. Then he's got... No, he's not the Brentford. He's just played Brentford. No. Yeah.
He has got Brentford up next.
Sorry. Yes, he has. He obviously had Man City where he got 10 points. Obviously, they beat Man City. But yeah, Brentford, Brighton and Wolves up next, which, you know, Brighton's going to be a tough test. Obviously, Brentford this weekend is. Wolves, so not a bad next three games for him. So maybe, you know, maybe. Do I just do it for 1 week? Swap up just 1 week, just swap it and see how he does. But I think I'm happy with the rest of my lineup, really. I think they're pretty much set in stone. Obviously, Danny Welbeck's got Man City on the weekend, but Man City are not the team they are, have been as of late. Obviously, Liam Delap, obviously got Spurs. I think I probably will bench Davis potentially for the Spurs game, but may start Delap because, you know, I think Delap could score. Davis
something
may not get a clean sheet. Yeah, as you said. So, yeah, as it stands, no changes for me. So, yeah, do boo me. There'll be no live changes for me. But Dwight McNeil is the one. What's your thoughts on that, Adrian? Am I going too soon on Dwight McNeil, or do you think that, you know, maybe worth just testing someone else out?
I'm going to have a little look at the Everton fixtures while I talk through this, because that's a good kind of basis to look at it, because I like him, but his returns, it's all right. What is he, 5 point? What's the price there? 5.8. So it's not exactly a lot, and 3 goals, 3 assists is a decent return. They're quite spread out. He obviously had a hot kind of run at the start of the season, got his first goal in kind of competitive goal in the Doncaster Carabao Cup win, assist against Bournemouth, goal and assist against Villa, a couple of goals against Palace a few weeks later. It's all quite spread out. And yeah, look, it's a decent return, but it's not anything earth shattering when you spread it out over 10 games. When you look at the fixtures, they're so hit and miss. West Ham away is next, Brentford at home, then away at United, home to Wolves, home to Liverpool. The festive fixtures in particular, I remember, are really horrible for Everton. I don't mind him as an asset. I like him as a differential in terms of being someone a little bit more left field to pick up some points. But I think you can probably get better value for the money that you're spending on him.
Yeah, so well, you'll find out next week, ladies and gentlemen, if I do that change. Because I'm not doing it live, just in case I change my mind. But we shall see. But the rest of the team I'm pretty happy with. You know, Kyle Palmer, you know, Watkins, they've been getting me. Salah, obviously, that, you know, they're guaranteed points most weeks. I just need to make sure I pick the right captain. So that's my downfall, really, AJ, in terms of losing potential more points, is putting the captaincy on the right player. So you're set in stone. You're captain at the moment, aren't you? Or did you put it on
Costa? Well, no, I put it on Erling Haaland. I've just kind of let it go there because I'm just hoping. It's that constant thought of saying it's going to come. And it just doesn't seem to be happening. And as I said, the games are hard for him at the moment. And Chris Wood was a tempting option for me. He's got Newcastle at home next. And that's one of those games here. Kind of a little bit of hit and miss about it. I mean, the Forest run in general is not terrible. It's, again, a bit like Everton, quite hit and miss, that kind of has those runs of they're going to go to Arsenal and to City next. Then they've got that Ipswich game that lies in the middle of it, where, again, I feel bad saying that we're looking at strikers who are coming up against Ipswich, but there's potentially an opportunity there to do it. I think he'll be a popular captaincy pick. Looking at the others, a bit annoyed that Saka and Palmer, both in my team, come up against each other this weekend. And then Salah's the other one, Villa leaking goals a little bit, well, in particular in that defeat at Spurs, which I checked was 1-1 at about 70 minutes. Now I checked a few minutes later and it finished 4-1, which took me by surprise. So maybe there's an opportunity in there. But I'm starting to think that maybe my stick and pray with Erling Haaland might not be the way to go about it.
Yeah, I've got the 75% chance of playing for Cole Palmer, who's got the knock. But obviously, this is, once again, Tuesday. That can easily change by the time, you know, the deadline. When's the deadline? It's 1:30, game week 11. That's later than normal.
There's no lunchtime kickoff this weekend. Okay,
there we go.
I think, weirdly, there was a lunchtime kickoff last weekend. No, there was. It was the Newcastle-Arsenal game. Never mind. There was definitely another weekend, or I don't think we had one, but there isn't one this weekend. So the first game, or the first games of the weekend, are the 3 o'clock kickoffs on the Saturday, with which there are four of them. We're quite spread out. I mean, we'll go over all the fixtures at the end of this podcast, but yeah, 3 o'clock, 5:30, 8 o'clock on the Saturday. We don't have too many of those these days. And then 3 2 o'clocks on the Sunday and 4:30 on the Sunday as well. Super Sunday game.
We'll talk about obviously the key games going into this weekend shortly. But let's take a look at the leaderboard, AJ, and actually how we're all doing as a four. I know you guys cover it on the flagship show a little bit at the end, but this opportunity to discuss it between me and you as well. Obviously, you're still leading the way in terms of us four, but you're now 54th in the table, though, mate. You've dropped 30 places.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, when you look at the overall points people have got in the kind of the top 30 or 40, there are not many people that have got fewer points than I have. There are some, but not that many. So it's understandable that I've had an absolute free fall down. Null and void. This just should be a COVID-style situation. Take it to points per game and finish it like that. That's how I see it. Yeah, not wonderful, but look, at the end of the day, meter first, what's the gap? 60-odd points, all I need is a really nice triple captain, something like that down the line, and we'll be right back up there.
Indeed. And sadly, my unbelievable run has come to an end in second place because Stu has leapfrogged me after just 1 week. Stu is now second, but only by 7 points. He's only in front by 7 points. So that could easily change next week. So, Stu, keep that warm for me, second place, because that could be, he's 151st in the table. I'm 197th in the table, but as I said, 7 points.
Not much in it.
To pray up, so not much in it at all. So, as I said, yeah, just one, just need one player to have a lot of really good week, and that could have been the case. So, and then Heafy, 839th in the table.
Has he gone down?
Yeah, he's gone down by, from last week, he's gone down by 32 places. But me and Stu have actually come up, because I think, I was 211th last week. I'm now 197th, as I said. And then Stu was 236th. He's now 51st in the table. Got there. It's a bit, a bit of a tongue twister, those, trying to say those amount of numbers in one go. Let's look at the table as a whole, as AJ needs to compose himself. Yeah. We've got a new leader, my friend. Klaxon getting rung on the podcast.
It's like a new leader.
New leader.
Like a shuffling of the pack that we've seen before. This is someone from out of nowhere. RKO from out of nowhere, right into top spot. Don't you love to see it? Feel a bit bad saying that for the guys who obviously have kind of hung around the top spots for a while. But it's nice to be able to talk about someone new, someone who's picked up 67 points from this week. That is almost not quite double what I've got, but not a million miles off. That is a really good total. And now, we're talking last week, I remember, about having there be quite a big gap between first and the chasing pack. But this has blown things wide open.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. Tom, fair play to you, my friend. No Amari, no party. And obviously he's got two Nottingham Forest players in his team. He's captain Salah as well, got 18 points. But is it Aina?
There's an interesting bit. Can we just jump towards this? That Tom has got 67 points.
Oh, Tom, just sitting his bench. Jesus Christ.
Tom is going to be livid. Not play his bench boost. I'm just going to do the maths on this now. On my count, there are 29 points on his bench, which really, I'm just going to quickly, my maths has gone here. That would take his total, if he had played the bench boost, to 96 points. Wow. Which would be really quite something. So he's on 671. So let's just do this quickly. 671 plus 29. 700 points he'd be on. So he would be about 34 points to be exact, clear at the top of this league had he played what would have been one of the most remarkable bench boosts ever to totally destroy the KOA league. Should we run through it? Should I run through it? Sure we go. Okay, let's have a look. So he's got Raya and goal like you did. A back three of Van Dijk on 5. Aina on 15. He scored one hell of a goal against West Ham over the weekend. And Guardiola on 7. Then had Brian and Bruno on 3. Salah captains to the tune of 18 points. Cole Palmer for 3. Smith Rowe for 2. When you look at some of these, it's not the most wonderful returns. So to get 67 before the bench is wow. Watkins and Raul Jimenez both on 2 and Chris Wood for 7. Then let's look at the bench. I'm so sorry we have to do this to you, Tom. Feel proud that you're at the top, but we are going to have to analyse the critical mistake that you have made here of having Flecken on the bench, 4 points for plenty of saves against Fulham because Brentford were under the cosh massively in that game. Morgan Rogers, 9 points from that one. Anthony Robinson, your old friend, 6 points there. And Leif Davis for 10 on the bench. Oof. That has got to sting. That must be a very weird feeling when you go to check your team and you see that you've done so well in such a poor weekend. But that's your bench. Oh.
Yeah. I bet you're now like wishing you didn't start Smith Rowe and Mumbi. I can't ever say his name from Brent Fever. That's the one. Cole Palmer, you know. But then you're really, that's when you want to play four defenders because you want to bring Davis in it. Maybe five defenders.
Yeah.
You actually get rid of Watkins.
Well,
and
the
Real,
bench boost would have been the one for this
that's
weekend.
The one. Yeah.
But they're so hard to try and predict when to do it. Would you necessarily have said, I'm going to do it when Leigh Davis plays Leicester and Robinson has Brentford, games like that? It's probably not what you'd want. So they are hard to predict, and I sympathise with that. But yeah, wow. That is one of the most painful benches I think I've seen ever in this game.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, Tom Moody, well done, my friend. If you're listening, reach out and let us know how you felt when you saw your bench. But you are the new leader for this week. And will he stay there? We shall see. Obviously, some regular names. Josh Bolton is second with Bolton Wanderers. Kev H, 17 going under. Oro is third. Morsey Co, Daniel Gant is still there, chucking about. Mike Marriott, Skyline Drift, he's dropped out 8th place. He only got 37 this week, AJ. So he had a bad week just like you. Just going to go and see if anybody got any lower slash
bigger. I saw a 27 somewhere. Golly gosh. Steady poon PP. Wow, I can't believe I said that aloud. But yeah, 27. Just while we're talking about names, I'd be interested to know, Kev H, where has 17 going under 00 come from? I'm intrigued. Is this an inside joke? Are we missing out on something here? Yeah, good returns from that.
Yeah, I'm just having a look to see if anybody's got 74 seen. I swear I saw 75 a minute ago. Where's the 75? I swear I saw 75. 76?
I saw 76, Alex. Yeah. Not this Alex, though, unfortunately.
Different Alex, yeah.
It's a fake Alex.
Yes. It'd be great 1 week if someone actually got the highest in our league. That would be amazing. And that would switch their week on. But yeah.
Big fan. Someone who's come up the leaderboards a little, we'll talk about names here quickly. Traktar Donetsk. It's Dan, as in Daniel Greenfield, and then Traktar. Love that. Brilliant. I don't know if we're too late to go over names still. In the series, but I love that. That was really good.
It's very good indeed. Yeah, I'm just scrolling a bit more, but yeah, I don't think there's anybody who got to 80 points. If you did, reach out. But I'm scrolling down to 300 plus, and I think I'm going to stop now because it hurts your eyes after a while when you're scrolling through.
He's
through
getting
things.
Dizzy.
Very dizzy indeed. But yeah, well done to everyone who game week 10, game week 11 up next. AJ, let's look at the fixtures. And as you said, there's no lunchtime kickoff, but obviously there's games on Saturday. Town obviously play on Sunday against Spurs. Obviously, that will be a game everyone will probably be looking at, obviously, because we're Town fans and we're covering the team. And obviously, we've got Town and Spurs players in our teams. But what are the other bigger fixtures and key talking points going to this game week 11? And obviously, this is the game before the international break.
Yeah, no Friday night game this time, so all eyes on Barnsley, Rotherham in League One. No lunchtime kickoff, so I don't know, take your pick from the Championship. Stoke, Millwall, anyone? Cardiff, Blackburn? No. So all eyes turn to the 3 o'clock kickoffs on the Saturday. Just a quick run through them. Brentford, Bournemouth, Palace, Fulham, West Ham, Everton, Wolves, Southampton. Pick of the bunch from me. Ooh, interesting one. This Palace Bournemouth is going to be quite fun. Not Palace Bournemouth, sorry, Brentford Bournemouth. The Mbeumo against Semenyo battle here. Two of the top scoring kind of bargain right wingers in this game. So going head to head there, Brentford with a really good home record. Bournemouth were my dark horse picks going into the season. Proud to say that's probably worked out quite well. Quite happy with that. Palace Fulham, another one. Nice bit of needle-ish in a London-ish derby. Not really a London derby, a bit of London derby. Liverpool Villa, the 8 o'clock. That comes after Brighton City at 5:30. The Liverpool Villa game, I think, is a big one in terms of people who still have Salah and in terms of people like me who said that Salah might drop off because of a hard run of games. Wow, that aged well, didn't it? So that's definitely one to have a look at, and as well, can Watkins and Rodgers and co bounce back after what's been consecutive defeats, losing to Palace in the Carabao Cup and then a heavy defeat at Tottenham last weekend. Haven't won in the Premier League since October 19th, which is a bit of a weird quirk. Well, how kind of how the fixtures have panned out there. And then the Sunday, quite a lot of games on the Sunday. Not really that fussed about Man United, Leicester. I don't think there's that many people that have all those assets in there. And it's not like we can look too much into it when there's a new manager coming in. Forest, Newcastle, can Chris Wood score against his former team? Can Chris Wood keep scoring? Chris Wood thus far has 8 goals, which is the same as Brian and Mbeumo, and they're 3 behind Erling Haaland. It feels like they're scoring every week, and I'm not really sure how they're all behind, or so far behind Erling Haaland. Tottenham Ipswich, as we've said, how do you play it with your Ipswich assets? This is a tough game, and you've got players like Son that will be quite big captaincy picks, you might think. Dominic Solanke, who got a really big return against Villa, will also be another one that people will look at. And then Chelsea Arsenal, we spoke about the Brentford Bournemouth one with Mbeumo and Semenyo. This is going to be Palmer and Saka head to head. Arsenal dipping off a little bit to a draw at Liverpool, or sorry, at home to Liverpool, and then beaten, obviously, pretty comfortably. And I know it was a 1-0, but they didn't really do that much to trouble Newcastle, and they're at Inter Milan tomorrow night. So it's also worth bearing in mind before you go and make your changes. We do have press conferences later in the week, but Champions League, Europa League this midweek, just to run through some of those ones in there. Liverpool hosting Bayer Leverkusen, City going to Sporting Lisbon, Arsenal obviously at Inter Milan. I think United will be in action. Tottenham at Galatasaray, that's a bit of a tough one there. A few days before they play Town, Man United at home as well. So just keep an eye on those. Who's looking tired? Who might pick up an injury? Bits like that, because there could be a few things that kind of evade your eye, let's say.
Very much so. Football, all the football. and yeah, it's going to feel weird though, isn't it, AJ, on Saturday? Not having a Town game. We'll obviously be looking up on our fantasy apps, looking who's getting the points, but knowing, oh, Town hasn't got a game because they're playing on Sunday. You got any plans for Saturday instead of covering a football match? You going to a football match?
Well, I turned to the incredibly old age of 24 on Friday. So what will I be doing on Saturday? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Something with my girlfriend at some point, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, those plans will be put in place. As for my team, Cambridge, interesting one. They are playing Peterborough away from home in the Cambridgeshire derby. I'm not going to that one because they're not usually the most pleasant games to go to be perfectly honest. So I'll be watching that one from afar, I think it's the best way of putting it, and hoping that it turns out a little bit better than the last time Cambridge went to Peterborough.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. But yeah, well, have a good rest of your week, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you've enjoyed another Kaway FPL pod. Any other business from you, AJ? Have a good birthday, my friend. I think we may be recording one more flagship show before we wrap up. Or I don't know. We don't know when we're going to record that just yet. But yeah, any other business, my friend?
Yeah, looking forward to that, because it will just be Mark like relentlessly telling me to... Well, I don't think we can probably say what he'll tell me on air. So yeah, we'll leave that to the imagination.
Very much so. And we're also looking for a new sponsor of this Kings of Anglia podcast. So if you want to sponsor the podcast, get your name out there, get your business out there, email mark.heath@newsquest.co.uk and we can have a nice chinwag and get you sponsored on the podcast. We'll look forward to hearing from you. And yeah, have a good game week 11, everybody. Thanks again for watching another FPL pod. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.